We gaze into the skies and we see the stars all set in their place. And Lord, at this time when we're beginning to see spring breaking out, Lord, that is a reminder of new birth, of things starting afresh. And Lord, there are so many ways in which that happens, and one of the most amazing is the way our lives can start afresh with you. For despite all the many, many ways in which we say and do things that hurt you and others, through that wonderful sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we can be forgiven. For your forgiveness flows from your throne. Your grace is so free and so unconfined. And even though we don't deserve anything, we are inheritors of the greatest kingdom that there is. That is your kingdom. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless us as your people within this church. Help us to live our lives for you. Help us to shine so that others can see you alive within us. But we do think on those many ways in which we let you down. And in the silence, let's just say sorry to God for our sins. Father, we thank you that you have indeed forgiven us. Bless us now, Lord. Fill us and anoint us and empower us with your Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to take you out into this world in which we live, the world that you created. And we bring these, our prayers, to you. And we offer them in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing a wonderful song now, King of Kings, Majesty. And so many of our songs and hymns, they sort of give this incredible image, don't they? And heaven is such a wonderful place, and yet God came down from heaven to be with us. But he's got this wonderful promise that all who give their lives to him inherit this kingdom. It's ours by right. And we're just going to get a glimpse of that wonder and splendor now as we sing this great song, King of Kings, Majesty.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not sure if there's any young people here today disappearing, but one. But shall we just say a blessing? Father, we do thank you for our young people. We thank you for what they mean to us, but also what they mean to you. We ask a blessing now, Lord, as you bring your word to them. Amen. For those who have not quite grasped the technology of smartphone bank payments and standing orders and direct debits and all that sort of thing, we have an offering, an opportunity to give now. So we'll now receive the offering. Father, we do thank you that you have given us so much. And we ask that you'll take these gifts of money and help us to use all that we have wisely to further your kingdom here in Beeston and beyond. In and through the strength and power that you give us, we ask this our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, earlier on this week, I was tucking into a biscuit and then I had a bit of a shock because it was pointed out to me that I was supposed to give them up for Lent. But unfortunately, despite having pancakes the other day, I hadn't quite grasped that it was Lent, which is an appalling thing to admit. But there I was, halfway through this packet of biscuits and everybody looking daggers at me. But anyway... And of course, in this period of Lent, we think on Jesus and what he did for us. And of course, one of the greatest things, the reason he came, was to bring forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, forgiveness. How do we forgive? And I'm sure that if you go back through your lives, there may be times when people have done you wrong, where you said things or done things that are really quite hurtful. And sometimes it's hard to forgive, isn't it? It's quite challenging. But this morning, that's what we're going to be looking at. How to forgive. And we're going to have a couple of readings now, we're going to have one now and one in a little while, which basically look on forgiveness and what it means.
The first reading is from Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart."
When we talk of God and creation, there's a hymn that always comes to my mind, which speaks of that incredible act that he performed when he put the stars in the places and set the earth just in the right distance away from the sun to sustain life. That takes some doing. I thought I was doing well the other day when I got the spirit level out and managed to get something level, and I thought that's incredible. But that is as nothing compared to what God does for us and what he did in our creation. And we're going to sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made." Oh. Is it? Yeah, it's supposed to be that one. That's probably me. There you go. I need forgiveness already.
Thank you.
We're going to bring to God our prayers of intercession now. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you that we have a privilege of prayer. For there are many things that you have laid upon our hearts, placed within our minds, Lord. Concerns for others, for situations, close at home but also further afield. Lord, as we watch in horror sometimes at what we see on our television, on the news, we can scarce understand how one human being can show such inhumanity to another. And we think of the terrible wars that are raging, Lord, and the evil that masquerades in the name of religion. Lord, we think of those people suffering in Iraq and Syria and in that whole region. Father, we ask for your peace to come upon that land. We ask, Lord, that those people of violence and of hatred and division will realize that their way is wrong and will seek the truth, and that you, Lord, will become known to them. And we think, Lord, of Ukraine. And again, Lord, it's so much closer to home. And yet there is a war raging where neighbour is turned against neighbour. And Lord, we ask for reconciliation and peace in that land too. Lord, we think of our own nation. We think of the many ways in which we as a country have turned away from you. We've marginalized your ways, your laws, within so many aspects of our society. And Lord, we are paying the price. Help us to turn back to you. Raise up your people, your church, to proclaim your good news. And to stand firm and point to you as the only way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we think of those known to us who are in special need, Lord, and need your healing touch at this time. In the silence, let's just bring to God somebody known to us. Father, we pray in particular for Ken and for Helen. We ask for your healing power and reassurance on them both. And Lord, for those who are unwell, we do claim your healing. For those who are afraid, we ask that you'll be close to them and encourage them. For those who are lonely, Lord, help them to feel your comfort and presence. Help us to see the world in which we live through your eyes, and help us to minister your work through our hands. We bring these our prayers, and we ask them in and through the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. I'm going to have another reading now.
The second reading is taken from Genesis chapter 50. Joseph reassures his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
Of course, when it comes to forgiveness, the sending of Jesus into the world is the greatest act of reconciliation that there's ever been. For he freely and willingly came down from heaven onto earth and lived amongst us and gave his life on a cross. And we're going to sing about that now. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. A few years ago, I was after a service, somewhere. I was chatting to a chap, as you sometimes do, and he said to me that he'd not spoken to his son for 10 years because of a fallout that they'd had over absolutely nothing. Because he explained it to me, and it seemed so insignificant. And yet, there he was, almost in tears, telling me that he was just so bereft because he couldn't speak to his son. And the sad thing was that neither of them could make that first move, could make that phone call. And because of that, 10 years had elapsed. And I found that so sad. And my parting shot to him was, well, what harm will it do if when you get home, you just pick the phone up and ring him? Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether he did that. But I really pray that they are reconciled to each other again, because that's such a sad situation. And sadly, we hear that all too often, don't we? People who are close, all of a sudden something happens and get torn apart and don't speak. And one of the problems that we have is failing to forgive. Because when we hurt, sometimes we like to nurture that hurt, don't we? Because we like to keep it, and it makes us feel, you know, it's nice sometimes to feel a bit as though somebody's really wronged you. And we grapple hold of it and we fail to let it go. But failure to forgive causes problems within us, doesn't it? It can rip us apart. It can cause us to become bitter. And over the years, that bitterness just builds up and builds up. And so that's one of the reasons why God commands that we forgive. So when you ask the question, why should we forgive? Well, the ultimate reason is because God says that we should. But then if you dig deeper, there are other reasons within that. One is to prevent us from becoming bitter, from prevent the enemy getting in there and festering away inside us. But there's another reason as well. And just take you back to the reading that we just had. And there's Joseph. We all know the story, don't we? There he was, his father's favourite. And he got this wonderful coat, this multicoloured coat. And his brothers were so envious. They wanted to get rid of him. And so they all put together a plot and beat him up and threw him in a hole and sold him off to some slavers. And there he ended up in Egypt. And incredibly, through the hand of God, he ended up as the right-hand man of Pharaoh. If you like, the prime minister of Egypt, for want of a better phrase. The second most important person. And there was this famine in Israel, and Egypt, because of Joseph's shrewd management, Egypt was a land of plenty. And we then get this situation with his brothers coming before him, and then you can imagine their shock, can't you, of the realization that the brother that they had wronged was there. And they were kneeling before him. Now, he could have sort of said, right, now you're for it. You did me wrong. And it's your turn to pay the price. But he didn't, did he? What we see is God's love within his life pouring out through forgiveness. And one of the things that we realize is that forgiveness has consequences. There are things that flow from the very act of forgiving. Because God is able to perform some incredible things through our lives. We then go to the earlier reading and Peter. Now we all know about Peter, don't we? He had a bit of a checkered past. He was a bit headstrong, I think it's fair to say. And there he is, there's Jesus teaching in his normal way. And Peter comes to him and there's a crowd around him. Now, just a bit of background. The Pharisees and the preachers of the day, they used to come up with all kinds of law, rules and regulations over and above what God had given. And one of them was that you only had to forgive three times. Now, most of us can count to three, can't we? And we can remember three things, even me. But there was Peter, and he was a bit, it was a cut above the rest. So in order to create the right impression, he says, Lord, how many times shall we forgive? Seven times. Well, you can imagine the crowd, can't you? Think, seven times. Whoa, what a holy man he is. And then Jesus said something which absolutely confounded him, and the rest of them probably. He says, no, Peter, not seven times, 77 times. Now then, you can imagine the silence that befell them at that point in time. How on earth are you supposed to remember 77 things that somebody's done wrong? And, well, some people have a good go, don't they? But the point that Jesus was making is you just don't count the number of times. You keep on forgiving. Because that is the nature of God. And of course, when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus set the ultimate example, didn't he? As he was hanging there on that cross, surrounded by those who had come to mock and abuse him, he shouted out those incredible words, didn't he? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive. Even in pain and agony on the cross, Jesus poured out forgiveness on those who were doing him wrong. And if we read later, and there's a couple of examples in Luke where and Acts, where we see, for instance, some of the priests that were there hearing that, they actually became believers because of those words. The centurion who looked upon the crucifixion, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Jesus' forgiveness caused things to happen in their lives. And in Genesis 50 verse 20, that we've read earlier, Joseph said this, he said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So the consequence of Joseph forgiving his brothers was that thousands and thousands of lives were saved, because all the food and resources went to those who were starving because of the famine. God's people were saved because of that act of forgiveness. Because of Jesus' act of forgiveness, billions and billions and billions of lives have been saved. So why should we forgive? A, because it's God's command. B, because it's good for us. And C, because of the consequences that flow from our act of forgiveness. Now, it's all very well sort of saying, yes, we should forgive. But if you think back to situations in your life, sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it? When somebody's done us wrong, it's really difficult to forgive. So the question is, how can we forgive if we've got this hurt within us? Well, as in so many cases, the answer is look to Jesus and look at his example. There's a story in Luke, in chapter 7 of Luke, where, I'm sure we all know it, there's the sinful woman who comes into the house where Jesus is at, and she falls at his feet. She starts to cry and she starts to wipe his clean his feet with her hair, and it causes a bit of distress around the others that were watching. And one of the things that Jesus said in that situation was, if we have a look at it, it says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she owed much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." That woman in that situation had done many, many things wrong in her life, as we all have. And yet she was there realizing the enormity of what Jesus had forgiven, what Jesus had done in her life. And so when it comes to forgiving, the first thing that we need to do is, if you like, realize the enormity of what Jesus has done in our lives. Realize just how much we have been forgiven. For just like that woman, she realized that situation. The others in the room didn't quite get it, did they? They couldn't grasp the situation. They were moaning, saying, "Well, you know, I fancy letting her in here, a sinner." But she realized the enormity of her sin. So the first thing that, in order to forgive others, that we need to do is recognize that within ourselves. Just how much has God forgiven us? And then we've got another wonderful example that Jesus quoted, and in Matthew 5 and verse 44. It's a little verse, but it's so powerful. It says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, it's easier said than done. But I want to take these in reverse order. And first of all, we pray for those who are persecuting us. Because if there's somebody that's done you wrong and you start to pray for them, even though perhaps you don't want to, but if you pray for them, something starts to happen. Because when we pray, what happens is, if you like, that the Spirit flows from heaven and through us towards the person that we're praying for. And all of a sudden what happens is we open this channel with God. Our hearts begin to open. And the hurt and the pain that is in there starts to be healed. And that's all done through this process of praying for somebody else. Praying for the person that's done us wrong. And in doing that, there we are. Even though we might be praying with sort of lip curled up and sort of begrudgingly. I know I can remember a situation when my children were younger and there was a big, big fallout. Normally happens at meal times. I don't know what it's like in your house. And there was this... they'd fallen out so much and they couldn't bear to look at each other, and there's this packet of cornflakes between them so that they didn't have to look and gaze on them. And anyway, the only way around this was to get one to say sorry to the other one, and so we removed the packet of cornflakes so they could look at each other. And there was this sorry, but it was done with a sort of snarl, you know. "Yeah, I'm sorry." You know. I'm sure she meant it, but anyway... Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We say it through gritted teeth. But the very act of praying for that person that's done us wrong starts to open our hearts up to God's power within our life. Now, of course, the second part of the of that reading, if you like, was to love the person. But love your enemies. Now, there's the same statement. Love your enemies. Can you imagine around the world today all the persecution that's taking place, trying to love those who are actually persecuting? But that's God's commandment. But love is made possible through prayer. And again, when we pray for the person, what happens is, where we've got that feeling of hurt and of anger and of pain, over a period of time, it might not be instantaneous, but over a period of time, that hurt and that pain starts to be replaced with love and with God's peace. And so, we need, if you like, to do that, to go through that situation, to pray for that person, pray for those people that have hurt us. And so that He takes away our negative emotions and replaces them with positive. And if we can just look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. It says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Now, that's amazing, isn't it? In blessing others through our prayers, we inherit a blessing from God. So the more that we forgive, the more that we pray for others, the more that we receive. The more, if you like, our hearts are opened up to get to be blessed by all that God has got to give us, which is quite a lot. So the first thing that we do is to think on just how much Jesus has forgiven us. We then pray for the person that's done us wrong. And then we begin to love that person. But there's something else, well, there's two other things as well that we need to do. The story in John chapter 8 of the woman who was dragged, caught in the act of adultery, and there she was dragged in front of Jesus. And all the righteous leaders and the people there were stood there with the stones and the rocks and the boulders in their hands, waiting to stone her. We know that story, don't we? And then Jesus bent down and started writing in the sand and stood up and said those incredible words, "Let those without sin cast the first stone." And then gradually, one by one, the people melted away. Until there was just Jesus and the woman. And he said, if we can just look at verse 11, he says, "Where are they that condemn you?" And she says, "No one, sir." He says, "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So Jesus ceased to condemn. He didn't condemn that woman. And one of the things when we're hurt and we're angry, we do condemn, don't we? And it's a good job sometimes we're not judges sitting there. Otherwise there'd be a lot of people in prison for doing us wrong. But so we need to cease to condemn the person for what they've done. And again, that can be achieved through prayer. As we're praying for that person, then love starts to come into our lives and we cease to condemn. Just as Jesus, I mean, the consequences of what that woman did ended up with Jesus dying on a cross. Let's not forget that. He paid the price for her sin. He paid the price for my sin, for your sin. But he does not condemn. And neither should we. And finally, the final thing that we can do in helping in learning and carrying out the act of forgiveness is, and it's, this is probably the hardest thing of all, there's that saying, isn't there? Forgive and forget. Now, even when we've forgiven somebody, or we think we've forgiven somebody, I don't know if you're like me, you think of this person is coming in the opposite direction, and all of a sudden the memory comes back. And it's there in the background. But if you just look at Jeremiah 31 and 34, it says, "No longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." I will remember their sins no more. That's God saying that. I will remember our sins no more. And again, it's not through our own strength that that is possible, but it's through God's strength, through His Holy Spirit ministering to us. How? Because we minister to the person who has done us wrong. We are praying for that person. And through that act of prayer, all these things become possible. So, in the process is, we think on what God has done for us, how much He's forgiven us. We pray for the person or persons involved. We learn and begin to love that person. We cease to condemn them for what they've done to us. And finally, we forget through the power of God, through His strength in our lives, we forget what it is that they've done. And that's, if you like, how we can deal with these situations. And sometimes it's not easy, but it's through God's strength that we're able to do it. Some time ago, I read a book by a man named David Hamilton. And this guy, he was a terrorist in Northern Ireland. He was a Protestant terrorist in the UVF. And he saw it as his job to kill Catholics. You know, some people say, "I'm a plumber," or "I'm a decorator," "I'm a teacher." Well, his job, when he was asked, is, "Well, I kill Catholics. That's what I do." And he sort of got arrested a few times. And one time that he got arrested, he was sent down for an attempted murder. And as he was walking out the court, there's an old lady, a friend of the family. I mean, his family were absolutely distraught because of what he was like. And she, as he was walking out, she grabbed hold of his arm and she said, "David, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you." And he just pulled his arm away and ended up in the cells. And he was in prison. And he was a notorious prisoner as well. Go forward a few years, he's now an evangelist. And he became a Christian whilst in prison. And the way he became a Christian is quite amazing, really, because in the cells, they were all had Bibles, and they were a bit like this, my Bible, with very thin paper. And they discovered that paper in the Bible made excellent cigarette paper. So what they used to do was they used to get the tobacco, rip the page out of the Bible, roll it up and smoke it. And in his book, he says he smoked his way through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But eventually, he started to feel guilty about smoking these pages. So what he thought he'd do is, before he smoked them, he'd read what was in them, read the pages, and then smoke them. And so that's what he did. And eventually, through the miracle, which is the way that God does these things, but God spoke to him, and he gave his life to the Lord in prison, and his life was transformed. It's an amazing story. But whilst he was in prison, his wife sort of left him, and another chap went in to live with her. And this chap started beating his son up. And one day he did it so badly that his son ended up in prison, in hospital. And David Hamilton got to hear about this. And he vowed, this is while he was a Christian, he says, vowed that if he ever saw this guy again, he would kill him for what he'd done to his child. And anyway, as these things happen, he was looking out his window one day, and who was in the courtyard but this guy who had been arrested for something. And so David Hamilton marched out to him and he said, I know what you've done to my child. I'm going to kill you. I want you to know that. That the a time and a place of my choosing, that's what's going to happen. And anyway, one day, he saw his opportunity. He was there in his cell, and he'd already got this knife that he'd made from some metal that ready to do this. And so he began to go through the process of shutting down his emotions so he could go and do it. But as he was doing this, he was getting frustrated because he couldn't do it. He couldn't get angry enough to do it. And this voice came from God and it said, David, forgive him. He thought, absolutely no way am I going to forgive him. And then this voice came again, David, forgive him. And he was getting really angry and began to shout at God. And one of the things that he shouted is, why should I forgive him? Look what he did to my son. And then this voice came back to him. He says, yeah, but look what they did to my son. Despite all of the things that we have done to God, all the things that humanity is responsible for, God has poured out his forgiveness through Jesus dying on the cross for us. And David Hamilton, the sort of closing piece of the story is that he went out to the man in the courtyard who was absolutely terrified when he saw him coming towards him. And he said, look, I know what you've done to my son, but God's told me to forgive you. And I do. And the consequence was that this man just about collapsed on the floor. But an amazing story, an amazing situation, only possible through God's intervention. So the question is there anybody out there that we need to forgive? Is there anybody there that's done us wrong? Is there anybody that we know who's in that situation where they need reconciling to another person? But only through God's power and strength in our lives can we really forgive. So let's think on those people. Let's pray for them. Let's love them. Let's cease to condemn and then ultimately forget what they have done. All through the power of God, the power of prayer. So, forgiveness. During this time of Lent, let's just think on God's forgiveness in our lives and what we, in turn, are expected to do. How we are expected to forgive anything and everything through the strength that God gives us. We're going to sing a hymn now which speaks of God's love for us, his sacrifice, and his forgiving nature. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the souls, the sons of men, or why, as shepherd, he should seek the wanderers to bring them back. They know not how or when. Thank you. Our Father, you know our hearts. You know our lives. You know our strengths and you know our weaknesses. Lord, there are times when we try and do things through our own strength and fail. Help us, Lord, to seek your strength, your guidance in our lives. And in those times when we're tested, Lord, in those times when others do us wrong and hurt us, help us through the strength that flows from your throne. Help us to forgive. And help us to bring that ministry of forgiveness into the world in which we live, to the people that we know, to our friends, our families. For you forgave us so much. You gave up everything for us so that we can have life and have it to its fullest and have life everlasting in your kingdom. Amen. Let's bless each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.